What an amazing revelation John received as he looked into heaven and saw all these extraordinary things happening before the throne of God. An amazing and wonderful vision. And there are times at which one senses that he is overawed by the whole thing. And of course, he would have been. But I want us today to concentrate on what precedes that, what leads to that possibility of that which John saw for himself. And it comes in this story of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ that I've just read to you. And so we're going to be following John 10:22 onwards. And we find in this story that Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. And the Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, the Messiah, then tell us plainly." There are no doubts that they were looking for a Messiah, but unfortunately they were not looking for one in the way in which Jesus presented himself. That's not what their hope was for their salvation. They had a very different idea. The feast that is talked about there actually reminds us of the time when the Jewish temple had fallen into somewhat of a disarray. It was probably that feast began to happen between the periods of the writing of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they wanted renewal. They wanted the temple and its worship to be restored to what it was, to be refreshed and renewed. And of course, this is what they hoped that Jesus would come to do. Well, of course, essentially he did come to do something significant. Restoration and renewal was on his heart and in his mind for all people. But it wouldn't be in bricks and mortar. It would be in people's hearts that he would begin to move. And the temple would be people's hearts where the Holy Spirit would reside. And one of the problems is, and challenges for all people who choose to follow Jesus is that we must not try and make a Messiah of our own choosing. It's not up to us how the Messiah will work. It wasn't then, and it isn't now. Actually, Jesus has declared the way in which things would be. He declared it all the way through his short ministry that he would come to suffer, to die, and to be raised again. And people who believed in him and in his name would be saved. That is the nature of the good news of the gospel. So believing is central, isn't it, to following Jesus Christ. Those who can say for themselves, Jesus Christ is Lord, are those who will be saved. So how long will you keep us in suspense if you are the Christ? Jesus said, "I did tell you, but you did not believe." And it's essential, isn't it, that we take the things that we have learnt of Christ and he has shown us, and we believe as he has revealed it to us. He said, "The miracles I do in my Father's name actually speak about me. If you had seen, if you had lived at the time of Jesus, would you have believed more because of all that you had seen?" And of course, it's not necessarily true. Even in the Old Testament, the people who saw great miracles all the way through, the parting of the Red Sea, all those kinds of things, did not convince them. They were trying to make a God of their own choosing and according to their own liking, and it will not work. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." They know his voice. That's one of the important factors of believing. We get to learn to hear his voice and follow in the way that leads to what? To everlasting life. That's the most crucial thing. A life that begins within us and carries us forward forever in his presence. My sheep listen to my voice. One of the things that we're called to do as Christians is to learn to listen to what God is saying for us for the present and as well as for the future. And he calls us into all kinds of ministries and being for him that will bring glory to his name. And we have to be in that process of learning to listen to what it is that he's calling us to be at different stages of our lives. And there is no age discrimination in terms of gospel. I was listening to somebody yesterday who said that he was 80 and he thinks he's got to stop now. I said, well, Abraham didn't begin till he was 100. Keep on going. There's always something for us to do as followers of Jesus Christ. And so long as we have breath in our body and his spirit within us, he calls us to be his witnesses and to do his works. And sometimes those works are seasonal. He will call us to do things at different stages of our lives, call us to be something else for him. And one of the greatest privileges, I think, interesting enough, that we've had as the church in this diocese, but not just here, but actually throughout this country, is going into schools and telling the story through Bible stories through Open the Book. And it's been happening in lots of dioceses. In this diocese, it's been very, very important and significant. And in this deanery too. And the schools, the children and the teachers love it when we do that. Absolutely love it. And the story is just told as it was. There's no explanation. It's just told and they receive it. And I think it's an immense and an extraordinary privilege. And one of the things that we're being encouraged to do is to continue that ministry. And we've been doing it from this church for some time. But it seems to be that at the moment we need a few more resources. People who would be willing to go in and help that story, the Bible stories, to be told. It's very significant that it continues in our schools. Open the Book is a very precious tool of gentle but significant ministry and evangelism. We're not allowed to actually proselytize the children, but they do want to hear the stories. So pray about that. Maybe God might call you to go into the schools with the small team that we have to continue that really important work. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. Where is he calling you? Into what ministry is he calling to? In what kind of work does he want you to be involved in? It's a really important part of believing is learning to listen for his voice. The second thing that we get from this passage of scripture is the whole business of belonging to him. And I think that's a wonderful truth, that we belong to him. In verse 29 it says, "My Father, who has given them to me," that's the sheep, "has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." This extraordinary privilege of belonging is something that people long for in society. They want to believe that they belong either to a family or to an institution. But how wonderful it is to belong to God, to Almighty God. And I love that verse. "My Father who has given them to me." We belong to Jesus Christ if we follow him. We actually belong to him. "And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." I think that's an extraordinary truth that we need to embrace for ourselves. We belong to Jesus Christ. And we need to learn to listen for his voice and the ways in which he is leading us, and hang on to that truth that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that is so important for Christians, particularly who are persecuted because of their beliefs and their desire to follow him. But it's true for all of us. Not life, not death, not principalities, not angels, nothing at all can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing, belonging to Jesus. We belong to him. Did you know that? And then we see something here of the benevolence of God in all of this. the loving kindness of God who touches us with his love in so many wonderful and different ways. And one of those ways, of course, is that he grants us eternal life. Jesus said in verse 28, I give them eternal life. It's a gift to us. And that gift is through receiving him as our Saviour. And I think, as I said last week, and probably on Easter Day too, eternal life begins at the point you believe, not at the point you die. That's to do with immortality. This is to do with the life of God, the life of the Son of God within us. And that's what I suspect that's what all people crave. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes, doesn't it, that God set eternity in the hearts and minds of men and women. It's something that's within people. They want to live forever, but they need to find the way to do that. God in Christ is the way to do that. I give them eternal life. That's God's extraordinary benevolence, his kindness towards us. Because he loves us so very much that he doesn't wish us to be lost. And he doesn't wish to lose us. And sheep are apt to go astray. But he cares for us and he loves us greatly. So we need to be a people that believe, know that we belong and the implications of that. And also we need to give thanks to God for his extraordinary kindness, his benevolence that he shows towards us. That he has granted us and gifted us salvation and eternal life itself. Hang on to these truths because Christ is risen.
He is risen.